No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we got somebody that I've been looking forward to having a conversation with for a very long time.
It's your boy Kid Trunks, the greatest Asian rapper alive, coming straight from Brad County, Florida. And we are on the coolest podcast in the world. No Jumper.
He said it.
Coolest
Asian rapper in the world. I'm glad that you just went for it.
Yeah, I had to.
You got to never take your foot off Rich Brian's neck.
That part. That's all.
Is that your main competition? Who is?
My main competition is myself.
Okay.
Like, you feel me? I'm not really worried about no other man.
But in the Asian rapper space, like, because you claim that, it's like, who else do you think even has, like, any kind of...
Trunks.
Just Trunks.
Yeah. That's about it.
would you do the Stupid Young collab? Could we make that happen?
I fuck with Stupid Young.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's hard.
Yeah, he is hard.
Yeah.
We've been talking in the DMs for a little minute now, so...
Really?
Yeah, we've just been... Not really on some music related shit.
Bro, I gotta be the only white person in that video. I'm going down to fucking I'm going to Long Beach with Kid Trunks and we're doing a Stupid Young video. That'd be fucking hard.
That'd be crazy. All the Asians and just add them there, like.
For sure. Yo, we just found out something. We just found out that you're from fucking Dorchester, which is
in Boston. Dorchester, Massachusetts.
That's where you were originally born.
Yeah. Oh no, I was born in Vietnam, but I moved from Vietnam when I was 2.
Holy shit.
And from 2, basically all the way to like age 6, I was like in and out of Dorchester and Florida.
What were your parents doing in Vietnam at that time, and why did they leave?
Honestly, like they didn't have no jobs in Vietnam because it's it's hard to find, like, you know, proper jobs that give you like good residual income. So they was like, fuck it, like let's just go to America.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they just took off. With a 2-year old. That's pretty bold, though.
Yeah. In a boat.
In a boat.
In a boat.
So they just showed up. They didn't like know if they were gonna be able to get in or nothing.
Basically.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, we was on some refugee shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you, when you think about your childhood, okay. So then, but you guys initially moved to Dorchester, but then how long did you live there until you went to Florida?
I lived in Dorchester from 2 to 5. That's when I went to Broward. 5 to like 8. That's when I went back, and then 8 to like 10 or 11. That's when I went back to Florida.
And what were your parents doing?
Nails.
Nails. That was their main.
Yeah, that was their little stilo, you know.
They had their own spot. They were just used to running their own spot or working at one.
Okay. They were working for somebody else. I'm in the process of trying to, you know, build something for them right now.
You want to get into the family business?
I don't want to get into the family business, but I don't mind opening a shop for them.
Right, just so they can have their own. Yeah, because if you have some startup capital, it's like you might as well do it on your own instead of work for somebody else, right? Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so that was their main thing. What was your childhood like as you kind of observed all this going on?
I mean, I was always a badass kid growing up. Like, I was definitely raised in the hood, you feel me? But I can't really label myself as, like, a street person because, you know, it's a difference. You know the difference between it.
Mm.
But, like,
it's how hard you gravitate towards it.
Yeah.
You know? You can kind of choose, like, if you want to just be all up in it or if you want to just be around it, I guess.
Mean, I was just, like, on some regular bad shit. Like, me and my friends would just... When I was younger, we used to like just poke windows, you know, regular shit, you know?
Right.
Regular shit, no gang shit, but I was always like bad and doing bad shit. Always had bad grades. So like my mom was really disappointed at me for the majority of my life, but she always tried her best to, you know, keep me sane.
Right. And was that weird for you? Did you feel like, the stereotype is that like Asian parents are hella fucking serious about their kids' education and want them to...
Be a doctor. If you know doctor, you know get money.
I'm glad you're doing that, so I don't have to. No, but that's the stereotype. Was that how your parents were? Like, you're supposed to really appreciate your education and take advantage of that?
Hell yeah. Like, it's to the point where, like, when I get settled in life, when I'm, like, you know, kind of a little bit of comfortable, I might get a GED just to give it to my mom. She always wanted me to, like, graduate high school, but, like, high school wasn't, like...
It wasn't for you?
It wasn't for me.
What kind of kid were you in high school?
I got bullied in high school.
Really?
Like a motherfucker. Yeah, but like I have my friends, you feel me? I got my friends here from high school. We got, you feel me? We got Vontae, we got Josh, you feel me? We got Erickson, and then we got my dog Bass Antenna, his artist Scarlet Blade, and my manager Absent Will.
That's what's up.
But nah, high school was like mid for me, bro. Like it could have been way better, but like I've always like tried to stay to myself and like try to stay around like the people that actually cared about me.
Right.
But the majority of the time I was around like the wrong person and like that person like, long story short, I got fucked over many times, you know.
It's interesting, though, because when I think about you, I think of you as being part of, like, a really, really strong friend group.
I mean, I did after I dropped out of high school.
Oh,
that's
okay.
When I met X, and that's when he put me in Members Only.
And he was the first person you met that was doing music? Or what was your involvement with rap before that?
shit. Like, I've always wanted to be a rapper when I was like, fucking, when I was legit. But, like, I didn't really take things seriously because I wasn't really around anyone that took shit seriously. Like, right. I keep it stacked.
So hard to go from scratch. But, like, if Key Glock was your uncle,
oh, shit,
and you could kind of, like, see the game, it's, like, easier to sort of start to put the shit together. Shit. I don't know why Key Glock being your uncle is my example.
Man, but if Key Glock was my uncle and I was starting to rap, man, I'm going to work to my point. When I work to my point, you better put me on.
Or even if there's like a guy across the street with a studio in his garage, mm-hmm, and you like saw him make a song one time and it just clicked in your brain like, oh, fuck, I could just do that? I could just make a song?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So the people you were around, you never were around anybody that was taking music serious?
No. Okay. I'll keep it blood raw with you. When I was like a jit, like 13, 14, 12, like I was still, you know, doing freestyles and like recording on little ass equipment and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't around anyone that was really taking that shit serious.
Right.
And when I was trying to be around the people that I was trying to take it serious that were in my high school, they kind of like pushed me to the curb.
Mm.
You feel me? And like, yeah.
Okay. So how'd you meet X? Or why did you graduate? Why'd you drop out first? You just hated it that much?
I'll keep it blood raw. Fucking X told me to drop out. Like, he forced me to drop out. Like, I swear.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So how'd you meet him?
Well, I met him when I was like 14 or 15. I had a best friend back then in high school. Her name was Cynthia. And I would just usually be at her crib and shit, just vibing because we was friends. And then she told me one day, she was like, yo, I got a man. You can't really like come over that much. And I was like, all right, bet. But you got to introduce me to him because you feel me? We best friends and shit. So my current manager, ex's old manager, Absent Will, he had dropped him off at Cynthia's house that day, and that's where I met him. But at first, we didn't like get along because he wasn't a really friendly person.
Yeah,
you know, you feel me? You know, Josh. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just imagining like you two meeting, and but that's interesting because like the ex I knew always had at least a little bit of an ego from his music taken off. So I'm wondering what he was like before any of that.
I mean, he was always like a you know, prolific person. He was just not really like friendly like that.
He had a presence when mm-hmm. you first seen him that it was like, oh my god, like this dude is a thing.
Yeah, he gave me anxiety the first time I met him.
Yeah,
big anxiety. And I was like, yo, you trying to smoke, da, da, da. And
he
like,
is an anxiety inducing person.
You don't
I could see that for a lot of people. Yeah,
he didn't really smoke weed like that, so I tried to offer to smoke. He was like, nah, I'm good. And after that day, we was literally around the friend same group. Uh-huh. I saw that around the same friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, he just took me in.
And was he making music at that time? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
And had you heard it? Did you
yeah, I fucking love
it. And
that
you
shit.
Thought it was dope from the beginning. You're like, holy shit, this guy's
off
actually doing
when
something.
When I freaking first heard that shit, it was fucking, I didn't hear anything that sounded like that.
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy.
And that's interesting because I feel like at that time, there was just such an appetite for like raw, aggressive rap from young kids mm-hmm. in Florida in particular, is where it really all started like cracking off around that time.
Yeah. Definitely.
What were you listening to up until that point? And was that like the moment where all of a sudden you started getting interested in all this underground shit and different shit?
Yeah. I mean, before that, before I met Ja, I was listening to like a lot of mainstream shit. Mm. Like, you know, like fucking Drake mm-hmm. and like Migos and shit before the situation. So
Versace,
don't fucking
Versace.
Come out crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, just mainstream shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then did you get introduced to his friend group? What's his friend group? Everyone
that's in, like, not everyone, but like the majority of the people that's in Members Only now, like Bass Antenna, Flabo Tarantino, Reds, like, and like a few people that I'm not gonna name that's not in here, but you know, we would just be around the same friend group, as in we would be at the same parties together,
right?
Because like we used to throw big parties, like big house parties,
right?
And I was just around, he seen me everywhere, this, that, and the third, and then
he just started fucking with you,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
and. At that time, how long did it take before you got to see him beat the fuck out of somebody? Is that like a pretty consistent thing?
Like I gave it like fucking a week after, like a week after I met him.
Yeah.
It was my birthday and we went to like some like hotel for my birthday, and then at the hotel he beat the shit out of somebody.
Do you remember why or how it went down?
I'm not gonna speak much on it, but he beat the shit out of somebody. he beat the shit out of somebody. Like,
right.
In front of my face, and I was like, damn, that shit's.
And did it strike you as like, oh, this is a dude who will go over the top to defend himself? Or did it strike you as like, damn, this dude's got a few loose screws. Like, he's a little too quick to pop off here. Yeah.
Both. Like, you know, like he was always the type of person to defend himself and defend the people that he loved.
Right.
You feel me? Because there was always a good reason why he did what he did. Mm. And I didn't see it until, you know, later.
I feel you. So when did you first have a conversation about, like, you becoming officially part of his thing? Or when what kind of conversations were you guys having around that time?
Honestly, we wasn't even talking about me being a Members Only. Okay. I was just around, you know, like, supporting him. Like, being at the shows, turning up, like, promoting his music. Mm. And then one day I woke up, he tweets. He was like, "Welcome to Members Only, men." And that's when he put me in Members Only.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about me being in the group or anything.
That's official.
It's crazy.
Do you remember when he did the No Jumper interview?
Yeah, I do. That's like 5 years ago.
We just hit 5 years, actually. That's crazy because I saw somebody put that on their story that it was five years ago, crazy. A few days ago. Yeah.
Super crazy.
Do you, like, where were you during that? Like, was it a possibility that you would have been going to L.A. with them at that time?
Nah, or I was super young.
It was too early.
I was super young, and he was with Bruno. And, like, you know, Bruno does porn and shit. And at the time, I was underage. Oh, yeah. So, you know, you can't have no fucking underage kid around no porn people.
That is a surprisingly mature perspective that I wouldn't have assumed that y'all would have been thinking about at that time.
Bro, like, bro, X did not let me go into Bruno's house until I turned 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because he knew that one of those girls was probably going to slurp you up?
Nah, he just didn't want no cases to be, you know.
Well, that is... I would not have assumed that he would be that mature about that, but yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
He wouldn't even let me, like... go out to like the clubs, like the parties and shit.
Really?
Yeah, but
why? He was just mad protective with you?
I remember he was really protective of me.
But just of girls trying to fuck you?
Nah, not even that. Just like my energy, too. You know? Mm. Yeah.
Did you eventually get older and go to Bruno's house and smash a bunch of porn stars?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it though.
That's part of growing up. That's part of Broward culture, man.
Yeah, I'm done with that life.
Probably everybody in this room could say the same thing, besides Laura. But, okay, so how do you start moving around with them? And, like, there's, like, a moment where X gets locked up. Yeah. And then his music starts blowing the fuck up while he's locked up.
Yeah.
And it hits a totally different level. Where were you for all that, and what was your perspective on it?
Where was I for all that? Honestly, I was just at my crib and, like, around, like, the Members Only boys, like, just trying to continue working while he was still locked up. Like, we knew he was going to get out because, you feel me? My dog, Innocent.
And you guys were all working on the music and everything pretty aggressively?
Yeah, while he was in jail, yeah, we were working on music and, like, we was throwing parties to, like, you know, make some side bread and shit.
Right.
And, yeah, we was just trying to work until they got out.
Right. Okay. And then, but then he starts blowing the fuck up.
Yeah.
And that must have been kind of weird to witness because it wasn't, like, new music. It wasn't like he did something. It was just people, word of mouth, spreading like crazy.
Honestly, it didn't surprise me because from the jump, I knew he was going to go somewhere. Like, if it wasn't like that year, it would be some place other where. But like, I knew he was going to blow up. It surprised me, but it didn't really surprise me like that.
Right.
I knew he was going to go up.
Definitely. So then you went on the revenge tour, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything important that I'm skipping in between the revenge, him getting out of prison and then... or jail, I guess.
No.
The revenge story. It was pretty soon after, right?
Yeah, you're on track.
What was that like?
Honestly, that was my first like big tour I've ever been on, and that was like low key like the best tour I've ever been on in my whole entire life.
It sounded like a fucking war every day from some of the people I've talked to.
It was sick.
Like, what kind of stuff was going on? It was just totally out of control.
It was a lot of sick shit going on.
Really
good sick shit though.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean. Probably the craziest moment that like soon after it got canceled was when he got punched in the face on stage.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What went through your head when you saw that happen?
Honestly, I was there, and when that happened, I like ran towards the side of the stage, and the person that was with him, he came on stage, and we was behind the curtain, and we was just like. Basically jumping his homeboy, and like while he was doing that, he was grabbing my hair, and I think Bass was there, Will was there, I think all of us were just jumping that one person. Uh-huh. But like when that shit happened, like it was so crazy because I did not expect that shit to happen. That shit happened so quick.
That was one of the craziest. But the venue set us
up
though.
The venue set us up.
Right.
It's crazy.
Because otherwise, how the fuck would he get in there?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Nah. But
I heard that guy got stabbed.
I didn't know that.
I don't know. That's just word around the streets back in the day. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Were you getting fucked up all this time? Because I know that you've definitely had your ups and downs in terms of drugs and everything, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
When did that start to kick in? Like, have you been doing that since you were young? Or?
I mean, I've been smoking weed since I was young.
Right.
And, like, the first drug I've ever done besides weed was Molly back in when I was 12.
Uh-huh.
Back when that shit was popping.
Right.
But then
you were 12.
Yeah.
I'm glad I knew Molly as a 12-year-old. Feels like a lot.
It is a lot.
I did it at, like, 24, and I still... I don't know if I was ready for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to experience something new. And then after Molly, I tried Zans, and then Zans turned me into a whole different person. Like, I just,
you got
I can't,
bad with
yeah,
it.
I can't accept that shit no more. Like, the only time I'll probably do a Zan to this day is if I, like, have, like, a fucking 10-hour flight. You feel me? I'll pop one and go to sleep and then wake up.
That's a messy way to live your life.
Yeah.
You just can't remember shit. You're falling all over yourself, fucking drooling and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then I got introduced to perks.
And that took the place of the Zans?
Yeah, unfortunately. Once again.
Compare those for me. Like, what the perks were like that the Xanax weren't like that, like, made you like it so much
more? I don't
know,
bro. Perks. But I don't, kids, everyone that's watching this right now, don't do drugs. I'm not trying to, you know, push the feed of doing drugs. I don't support that shit. But, like, it... Unfortunately, it made me feel like so much better about myself.
Really?
Because, like, I suffer from severe anxiety and depression disorder.
Mm.
And, like, the people who prescribed me prescriptions, they prescribed me Lexapro. And I didn't want to take that shit. That shit sucks.
I've heard.
That shit fucking sucks.
That one's crazy.
Hell yeah. So, like, honestly, like, the drug of my choice back then was, like, Perks. And, like, right. That shit made me feel like.
It's more of like a up alert. Feeling
it depends on some
Xanax,
people.
Right?
Yeah, it depends on some people, because a person could take a perk and, like, feel like, but then another person will take it and just feel like, you feel me?
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, okay, you guys get off that tour, and, like, what is life like at that point?
Life was a mess.
Right.
I had to get my life together.
After the tour.
Yeah, because it was just so much going on. So much going on.
In terms of what?
In terms of, like, my health. Cause, like, I was eating terrible. I was fucking smoking every day, drinking. You feel me? Like, my immune system was down.
Right.
So I had to, like, get my life together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this whole way, are you, like, really also plotting on, like, what you're gonna do with your rap career and how you're gonna sort of
definitely
be able to be your own artist, even definitely. Though you're attached to, like, the biggest artist at that time?
Yeah, definitely. After the tour, I mainly took a step. Not away from the group, but just away from, like, making music with Ja and just, like, focusing on my own career. And my manager, Will, he would just be there with me every day. Like, we'll take trips to, like, different cities, go label shopping. But fortunately, we got picked up by Empire. Shout out to Gazi, best CEO in the world.
But as a group, not as individual artists?
Oh, no, as an individual artist.
Oh, everybody, as individual artists and as a group.
Yeah.
Okay.
But... I think Ja told him to sign me. I don't know if that's true or not.
Uh-huh.
But, like, Gazi was just looking around the circle to, like, who to sign around Ja. And, like, thank God he chose me and shit. And as a solo artist, I signed a, you know, distribution deal with Empire. We got a big partnership going on.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
How many songs did you guys actually have come out together?
We got 777. We got Came to Kill. And that was about it.
How would you describe the recording process? Because I would hear from people that he was, like, so picky in the studio.
Yeah, he's super picky.
It would, like, take him forever to get a verse put together. He was just, like, moving off emotions so much that it was kind of like, you know, it would be hard for him to sort of...
Bass antenna passing me to
commit
joint,
to anything.
Gang.
It would be hard for him to, like, really commit to shit or whatever, that he was, like, very, like, all over the place in the studio. What was your experience in those environments?
My experience with him was pretty easy. I'm not gonna lie. It depends on the situation and the person that he works with. And, like, if he works with anyone that's close to him in MO, it's kind of easy. You feel me? But when we were working on 777, it was actually my song that I wanted him to get on for my project. And, like, we made the beat on spot in the back of the tour bus. And he, like, wrote, like, a few of my bars for me, and, like, I didn't hit it right, so he, like, screamed at me, like, "You're not getting this fucking shit right, bro. Do it right." And I'm like, "Oh shit, okay, I'm gonna do it right. Shit, my bad."
Did you think that was helpful, or was
it? It was definitely helpful.
Okay.
Because I was bullshitting, and, like, come to look at it now, I shouldn't have bullshitted. Yeah.
That's interesting. He's kind of like that kind of coach.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Okay, so when did you actually end up putting out that? I feel like that video on Worldstar was your first like big solo look.
That was my first big solo video, but my big first solo song was Talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. We posted on the SoundCloud like a week, maybe 2 weeks after I posted the song, and that shit went up.
Right.
Yeah, that shit went up.
And did you feel like that was kind of like the start of you getting recognized as a solo artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then when you did that video, like, did you know that video was going to be the one that went up? Because I feel like that one has like 15 million views, and that was the first time that I was like, oh, okay, Trunks is really taking this serious now. All right.
I knew it was going to go up because of the situation I put myself in.
What was that?
And toss me the lighter. I shall catch it.
Ooh,
caught it.
He did.
You feel me?
That was nice.
But anyways, I knew it was going to blow up because of the situation that I put myself in. So basically, I was just on some chill shit, regular shit. I was on my mom's patio. And in the morning, like, I was like, you know what? I felt like just labeling myself the greatest Asian rapper alive. So I posted on my story. I'm like, hey, man, like, I don't care who don't think so, but I'm the greatest Asian rapper alive. You feel me? Point blank, period. And then 2 days later, I wake up, Academics posted me on the story.
Oh, and asked if people agreed. Okay.
Yeah, and that shit went viral. So I had so many people hit me up like, God, and honestly, I didn't really stress it that much.
So even if you got a lot of hate from it, though, was that worth it in that it got a lot more people talking about
you? Yeah, it was worth
it
because at the end of the day, everyone as an artist and as a man should feel like they're the greatest. You feel me? As a human themselves, personally, I'm not talking about the next man. I'm talking about you, yourself. You should feel like you're the greatest. And as Adam 22, I know this is the greatest podcast alive.
Coolest, at least. But yeah, also greatest.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like I wasn't really disrespecting nobody like that because I wasn't calling people names. I wasn't calling out shots. I was just saying what I felt. And I'm entitled to my own opinion.
Was there anybody who said anything about that topic that like you remember in particular pissing you off in terms of people being like, who the fuck is this kid? Or
I mean, it didn't particularly piss me off. It kind of threw me off, like kind of like, what, that's kind of awkward, kind of weird. I mean, I fought with him, shout out to Jen Gates and shit, but like at first he was like calling shots at me and I was like, damn, this how you feel,
right?
Instead of just coming in my DM like, hey little bro, da 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 da. But I feel it. You feel
shout
me?
Shout out to Jin, but I mean,
shout out to Jin Gates. He takes like a lot of steroids, so I understand why he felt that way. He's swole as hell.
Okay.
You feel me? So less testosterone, my brother.
It's funny though, because you saying that and it becoming a big viral thing, it's like, that's actually what causes that though, is that everybody else is like, well, I want to go viral too. I'm going to hop on this shit.
Exactly.
Why didn't I think of that first?
Exactly. And like, in my opinion, like, yeah, other Asian people or other Asian artists paved the way for a lot of people, but I feel like I really paved the way for Asians in general. That's what I'm still trying to do, because realistically and really and truly, before I did all of that, I did not hear about one Asian person, like, you know, talking about themselves in a good manner or like just speaking up. You feel me? And after I did that, you see all these Asian motherfuckers, woody woo. And yeah.
Don't compare yourself to Kid Trunks if you don't have face tattoos and blickies in your videos.
Type shit.
I mean, there's just, it's different types of rappers.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, if you don't have,
that was back then though. Like, that was when I was
on my dumb
shit.
You're not doing the blickies in the videos anymore?
Nah, not really.
Did that ever get you in trouble? Or
nah, not really. No, nah, I've never been in the type of person to get in trouble with the law.
Okay.
I was a smart person. So, but nah, like that was me like 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. You feel me? Like, and over the time of me getting older, I started to like learn a lot more, and I'm not really.
How was that video though? It looked like a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a great time.
Were you fucked up back then?
Yeah, it was.
Fucked up and handling
firearms.
I was off
the lean and the perks. I don't drink lean anymore, but
lean and the perks together is
no go. You turn to a zombie. Yeah. Big Z zombie.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's like somebody else gotta drive your car home.
Yeah,
you can't even tough it out.
Nah, you can't. If you tough it out, you're gonna wake up with a big ass dent in your car, or that shit gonna be done by the morning.
When did you actually officially like stop doing drugs and shit, or not, I'm not saying stop, but you know, slow down significantly? You don't seem, I remember you a couple years ago and there's definitely a different energy.
I started slowing down on lean and Zans when I started to realize it was taking a very big toll on like not just my like physical state or mental state, it was taking a toll on like the people that I love. You feel me?
Because you're being an asshole to
them
and all that.
I was being a fucking asshole, dick, fucking, You feel me? All the bad names you can name.
You're going through all these mood swings. You don't necessarily really understand the mood swings because you're right in the middle of it. And then meanwhile, you just have like people in your life who you're just being a fucking total prick to.
And I'm so thankful for everyone that's around me that I put through that. And like, I'm surprised they're even around me. That's how I know they really love me. You feel me? And like, I don't know. After I realized that I was doing shit to the people around me, that was, it really fucked me up. So that's when I really stopped that shit.
I feel you. Before X passed, it was like there was a period of however many months, maybe like 6 months or maybe longer, that I felt like he kind of like entered a different state in his life where he was just like, you know, he wasn't like arguing with anybody on Instagram Live anymore. He was just straight making music, being to himself.
Yeah, I felt he definitely like, I wasn't really around like that when he was doing that stage of his life. But we would still be talking on text messages and FaceTime. I wasn't around like physically because I was like doing my own shit.
Right.
But shit, from what I've heard and for like what I've seen, just talking to him on the phone, like he really found love within himself. And once he did that, he didn't really care about nobody else's opinion.
Yeah, I felt like he really wanted to work on himself. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really feel like he could do that if he was touring or being in LA or going to clubs, all this shit. He just kind of cut himself off and was trying to really be like more of a normal person, not affected by the world as much.
Yeah. I'm glad he went through that stage, though. That shit definitely changed everything.
But so where were you at kind of during that area? Were you stopping by the house or?
Unfortunately, I never went to his house when he was alive.
Oh, okay.
But like I would just be doing my own thing because at the time, like I was still kind of like hot, you feel me? And I would just have shit that I'd have to do, like work on my album, go to different states, you know, do shows and all that shit. And like, and yeah.
I feel you. Where were you at when you found out he passed?
I was at my mom's house. And then I found out he got shot at my mom's house. But in that particular moment, I thought it was like, I thought it was on some like, he get shot and then he gonna go on the gram and be like, yo, you feel me? Awesome regular shit.
Right.
And then then I went straight to my homie house. And as soon as I got to my homie house, well, one of my homies, and I found out that he didn't, because the sheriff tweeted online that he didn't make it. And after that, we went straight to the hospital. And they weren't really letting us in like that.
Right.
Yeah. And then
that must have been a pretty crazy scene, just like all the homies, all these people who just, you know, probably like have not been to the hospital too many times to see somebody crowding the outside of the fucking hospital. And it's like the most fucking traumatic news.
I was in distraught, bro.
Yeah.
It didn't really hit me like that because I was delusional about that shit. Like, that shit was like, nah. You feel me? Like,
right.
I don't know. It hit me different. Like, I'm turning into a young man. And at that time, I wasn't really like, I didn't have the knowledge that I gained now. And I'm still learning. And like, I didn't really know how to like react to it because it was just like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unthinkable just that you could, you know, accomplish so much and then go out in such a stupid fucking way that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
and,
man. He had big plans, bro. Big plans for all of us. But shit, we still here.
Do you feel like that kind of took the friend group and brought everybody together for a while?
I feel like some people
were like
some people that
off.
Really like understand what family is, right. You know what I'm saying? And like I'm so grateful to have everyone that I do have around me now, and like it only just goes to show me that, like, you know, not a lot of people want to stay for the ride. Like once the captain leaves, no one wants to, you know, help out and like, you know, keep the boat going. You feel me? Because like, all right, for example, a boat only has one captain. You feel me? But if the captain is not there and we need to get somewhere, all of us has to come together. You feel me? And learn from each other and like build this big ass bond and relationship to the point where we can move the boat by themselves. We don't need a captain. We need a captain, but like I'm saying, like, if we all would have came together, which we did, everything could have just been more, like, bigger for us organically. But the only people that, you know, stuck around was the reals, the real ones.
Right.
I'm not trying to talk shit or, like, you know, say any dumb shit, but I'm just keeping it a stack. Because after X died, like, a lot of people showed their true colors to us. and like a lot, or at least to me. You feel me? I'm not trying to just speak on nobody else, but just on Kid Trunk's behalf.
Showing true colors in what way?
And like, just like, you only fuck with me because of him. And like, that's fine, and that's true in reality. But like, a lot, once he passed away, a lot of people start to like distance themselves from me. And like, you know, just, you know, it wasn't the same energy after he passed away.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But a lot of people did stick around though, and I salute them and I appreciate them. You feel me?
Right.
Some real shit.
I just remember that time period during his memorial, like that whole weekend or whatever. And I mean, I just remember going to his house and just, I mean, that energy was just fucked up. Like, it was just so, like, just seeing everybody in all different stages in their grieving process, you know, it was like, it felt important to be there and to like witness firsthand so that his death wasn't just this like abstract thing that I read about on Twitter.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was just so sad. And so like, I've just never probably been in an environment with that many like people that I knew who were that fucked up over anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
It felt like it was a black cloud over the whole state, too. I just want to say that.
That shit was a very tough era for me, and it still is. You feel me? But, like, I knew if he was here and, like, I continued to, like, cry like the way I do, he'll probably smack the shit out of me. You feel me? So I'm going to just stick to everything he say. Because, I mean, yeah, I do cry. And, like, when I feel like things are getting above my head and shit, and like I can't control my feelings and emotions. Yeah, I do cry. I'm a Cancer.
You gotta be able to let it out.
You feel me? Emotional as hell. If you know anyone, if you ask anybody around me that know me, they know that I am a very emotional person.
Right.
But like, I choose a time and place for that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a time and place for everything. And luckily, like, as I got older, I found myself. And I'm still trying to fully find myself, but in the process of that, I learned what balance was. And like, once I balanced everything out, like it made me feel better. So yeah.
For sure. I mean, I went through a time period in my life, a long ass time period, where like I was getting into it with my dad and we'd be fighting and shit. And like, I would be young and I'd be crying. And then I realized at some point, like, oh shit, like you don't cry in that environment anymore, but you also don't cry at all about anything. And it's like years and years out, and you're like, oh fuck, like I don't even have that human impulse. I feel like honestly having my daughter made me like a way more open person, because it gave me something to feel emotional as fuck about all the time.
I'm like, I don't really know you like that to speak upon, like, you know, what we went through, but I'm pretty sure you went through some shit in your life, you feel me? As a very grown adult as you are, you live in all these years.
Yeah.
You went through some shit. I know you did, but...
Oh, yeah, you get grizzled.
I feel like all the shit that humans go through, it really... It's like PTSD. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of trauma behind life itself, because... I don't know, bro. Life brings a lot of fuck shit in our lives. And, like, that shit definitely takes a toll on us mentally.
And sometimes when I see the guy on the side of the road screaming at himself, or, you know, you see, like, a homeless person, but you can tell that they're older and that they have, like, real serious mental illness or whatever. And I wonder, like, maybe they just went through some shit in their life that they just couldn't take being a normal person anymore. And when you hear about people where their kids die or get killed, all this, you know, your spouse gets killed, all kinds of crazy shit, it's like, it's not that hard for me to imagine having something happen to you so traumatic that you couldn't really be a normal person after.
Yeah, it's some fucked up shit, bro. That's why like I'm not a perfect person, but I you feel me, in the past I feel like everybody in this planet has judged in their life, you feel me? No one's perfect, like but as I got older and I started to like be aligned with the universe, because the people that I have around me are very universal, like especially my homie Dreddy. So that's the one, Dreddy. He's like a very universal person, and like I looked up to him as like an older brother per se. And like, he's always like, when I'm down, he's always like, you know, spoke to me about the universe and like how you gotta move with the universe. And I don't know, man, that shit is just... I'm so high right now. Like, I'm so high right now. I'm just getting deep into this shit.
Okay, here's a question. When you guys actually, like, what was the conversation like about, like, yo, we're going to make the members only album happen? Had that been a conversation for a while?
Will, did we ever, that was bass. There was no conversation, right?
That was just all music that existed.
It just happened.
Okay.
It just happened. We didn't even have a conversation about that.
Okay.
He just I think he put it all together by himself.
Exited.
I think so. Did he? We don't know. See, I think.
So nobody in the group knows how their first album came out?
It just came out.
It just happened?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He told y'all to show up to the studio.
Studio, and like he told me to send him the songs that we recorded on tour.
But how many months after he passed did the album come out? Because I always figured that the album was like the idea came after he passed.
Or you talking about Volume 3 or Volume 4?
I forget. The big one that came out like on Empire and shit, I forget. Was there multiple ones on Empire?
You're talking about Volume 4.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, we didn't talk about making no music before he passed away.
Now I'm remembering what project you're talking about.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay,
I was talking about
the one after he passed. Okay, my bad.
After he passed, I mean, we took time and to think about things like that because I was signed to Empire and Empire was really close with the group.
Mm.
And guys, they just came to us and like, yo, bro, like, you know, let's just do a Members Only Volume 4, a little tribute album for Ja.
Right.
And like, yeah, that's how it happened.
Okay.
Shit was fire, though.
Did you feel, you were satisfied with it? How did you feel about the response?
I was satisfied with it. You feel me? It was, it could have been a lot, not better per se, but we just had to it wasn't rushed, but I don't know. It could have been a lot better, but I was basically satisfied with the album because I don't know. I feel like a lot of things could be better in life, and that's just how I feel.
Could you, is the group close enough? Do you think there will be another project, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yes, there definitely will be another MO project, but it would just be it wouldn't be a Volume 5. No, you feel me? Not going to speak on Volume 5 because I don't know nothing about that, but
right.
You will definitely get another group tape from us.
Okay. Have y'all recorded?
Yeah,
or
definitely.
I feel like y'all are kind of separate and I don't know. How much do you have to do with each other, to be honest?
A lot.
Okay.
Still a lot. You feel me? We see each other every day. We live with each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Too, it depends on who you see that's an MO.
Okay.
Because the structure and the dynamic is totally different now.
Right.
You feel me? But yeah, everybody still get along and talk every day type shit.
Were you ever close with Ski Mask, or was the beef kind of just?
I was always close with him.
You were always,
yeah, because he was around us and shit.
Okay,
yeah.
But then, how did that end up sparking off between y'all?
It was just some petty shit,
right?
Petty shit, cause I don't know. It was just we brothers, bro. We clash heads. You feel me? I'm not about to speak what our business has, but just know it was on some petty shit.
But did you felt like he wasn't necessarily being a part of the group or giving a fuck about y'all or what was the attitude?
He give a fuck.
Okay.
You feel me? But I didn't, in the time when we were having troubles and shit, I didn't really see it from his standpoint.
Mm.
You feel me? And he didn't see it from my standpoint either.
Right.
So that's why we talked face to face on FaceTime to see what's causing the problem and the solution of the problem. But what was I saying?
I mean, Ski Mask kind of removed himself from that universe even before X died in a way. It felt like he kind of, for his own sanity, sort of moved away from a lot of it and was trying to sort of do his own thing as an artist and shit.
Yeah, I mean, dude, everybody goes through a lot of shit and everyone has their own demons and it hits people differently. And he did go distant from us and as a solo artist, but if that made him happy, if that made him, financially better and just as mentally just okay, that's all we care about.
Did you ever have a conversation with him after this shit went down on Instagram Live, squashing it or
squashing what
with Ski Mask? Did y'all ever smooth it out at all, or
what you mean?
Just the you guys were talking shit about each other
live
and shit,
you
were.
We called each other in FaceTime. Then he explained his side and I explained my side, and it's we was both wrong.
Right.
We just didn't see it like that because anger and all this emotional shit. But we brothers at the end of the day. Brothers clash.
Patch it up.
That will always be my brother.
Okay.
You feel me? But Shout out to Ski.
Shout out to Ski. I was talking to Ski about Ski the other day, just being like, yo, like, what has he been doing? Like what is his, you know, has he been partying, quote unquote? Like, just, I was just curious about where he was, where he's at. And he's like, yeah, he's sitting next to me playing fucking 2K right now. I'm like, oh.
Every time I'm talking him, about him like working.
He's a mystery, you know?
Yeah. He be taking this shit serious.
Cause it's just interesting because you never see young rappers like just take a year off and be away from the scene and be away from putting shit out. Like, most rappers are so thirsty to just keep doing shit and get people's attention. I think he's like a really amazing rapper and artist.
Yeah, he fought.
And so I think he can take that much time and his fan base will wait. But it's interesting to see him actually do it because most rappers just don't really do that until they get maybe more established.
Nah,
you know?
For sure. I don't know. Ski has a fucking big ass cult following. You know? That was fucking Ja's best friend.
Mm.
You feel me? They both was fire, like in their own way. Mm. And like he will always have them cult following fans, just like everybody else in MO. Like Bass has his cult following. I have my own cult following. Flyboy got his own cult following. Like everyone in the group has, you know. I feel like everybody in the group could do that. Mm. But like as this point right now, because of COVID, we got to stay consistent.
Right.
Just expect new music from us like real soon. Like real, real, real soon.
Yeah. You've been recording a lot?
I've been recording a lot.
Really?
A lot. I've been overworking myself.
Okay.
But in my mind, I really don't see like, I don't believe in overworking because like at the end, I'll be satisfied at the end.
So, right.
But technically, I've been fucking overworking myself. I'm fucking tired as fuck.
Really?
Hell yeah.
That's what's up. Are you like planning on like your next thing, your next project you put out? You're gonna like push it really hard and like make us a like you're gonna treat it like a real album or?
I mean, the next project I'm gonna release is mainly gonna be more towards like my hard hitting shit because my debut album was basically an experimental project album, Moon. And it was like, you know, focusing on the alternative sound.
Mm.
And I wasn't really rapping and doing hard shit like how I used to.
Right.
But this upcoming project is about to hit, bro.
Yeah, like, what do you think your fans want from you? Because like, your biggest songs are the ones that are fucking.
Yeah, they
basically
want the old Trunks back, man. The old Trunks never left. I just took time to evolve. You feel me? Like, I still want to give y'all like the Trunks that y'all looking for times 10.
Right.
You feel me? And like, I've been experimenting with shit and like, you know. Y'all gonna like it. Y'all gonna like it. Just know that. Y'all gonna like it. And for the features, sure. Features gonna be crazy.
Who else we got? Who's on it?
I'm not saying nothing.
Oh, shit.
They have to find out. Because since I've been in LA, man, like, I've been blessed with a lot, like, fortunately. And I thank the universe for it. You feel me? I'm not gonna say too much on here, but just know very big things are coming soon. Shouts out to Luxury Tex from Cactus Jack. You feel me? That's the homie. He's been showing me nothing but love since I've been
out
here.
You're signing the Cactus Jack?
Huh?
You're signing the Cactus Jack?
Nah. I'm signing to
exclusive.
Myself.
Exclusive.
I'm signing to myself, but Cactus Jack.
You might want to sign to Travis Scott, too, realistically. Tap in. Travis. Duh.
I'm not saying any more, but Travis, you know what's up. Like, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not saying no more. No more!
You got more face tattoos on the way, or are you capped out?
I'm capped out.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, really. I'm capped out. No more space.
I mean, you do, but you just have to go like full face tattoo.
Nah, exactly. Nah, I feel like I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, I thought about, not eventually, like, I thought about like, try like removing my face tattoos and getting new ones.
Oh, okay.
But like, I'm not going to do that.
It's kind of crazy. Like, getting face tattoos seems like a very Xanax part of your life thing.
Majority of it was. Majority of it was, yeah, I swear. Majority of it was.
Doing Xanax made getting mad face tattoos
bro,
seem like a good idea,
right?
Bro,
my first face tattoos was off bars.
Yeah.
And I got like four at the same time.
The dude with Anne Frank on his face, I would say that's probably a Xanax
Arnold?
Decision. Yeah, shut up, Arnold.
Arnold the GOAT, though. I fuck with Arnold.
One time I went to Bruno's house and I seen Arnold there.
For real?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. Everybody close.
Right.
Yeah, everybody that be in Florida, that be in the music shit, everybody close.
Right.
And then we all fought them and shit.
Yeah, I wonder how many face tattoos weren't done on Xanax. I would say a large percentage.
I would have to look at myself in the mirror.
Not you, but just like the world in general.
Oh, shit. I feel like a good majority of people like got face tattoos without drugs.
This is my question is, now that all the hottest music coming out of Florida is basically about like shooting other people, like are you going to become that kind of rapper and start like just smoking on packs and
We is smoking on a pack, but no.
You know, like smoking on a pack of so-and-so?
Oh, nah, see, that's I'm going to leave that over there with that. That's the drill shit. I mean, like, I could do that with...
I feel like people actually want you to do that, and if you put out music like that, it would go crazy.
I'm not
going to
let no one put me in a weird state and take me out my element to speak upon them with my lyrics. You feel me? You got to do some fuck shit. I mean, you feel me? And even then, I'm not even about to speak on you because... You don't deserve my energy. Mm. But I understand because drill rappers, they got to do that shit. You feel me? Because that's what they do. But I don't label myself as a drill rapper. A rapper for sure. But more like a musician. You feel me? Like a real artist because I could dibble and dabble with every fucking thing.
Mm. Definitely.
I feel like a lot of people been sleeping on me too.
Who are you fucking with like at this point? Like who inspires you musically or gets you interested?
I listen to a lot of Juice WRLD.
Oh, really?
Lot of Juice WRLD. Like, I'm a very big fan of Juice WRLD. Like, I can relate.
You feel like him and X are the best of this generation?
Yeah, basically.
I would say that.
I would say that.
I don't know if anyone would consider that controversial.
I mean, and just my opinion, I feel like they did some big shit. But especially, like, Ja. Like, he did some... he did some crazy shit with his music.
I don't know what Juice WRLD's career would have looked like if it wasn't for X. I feel like X probably like made Juice WRLD in some ways the artist that he was as well.
I mean,
just having that influence.
I know for a fact Juice WRLD was a fan of MO.
Yeah,
before he passed away,
they DM'd and shit. Yeah,
yeah. Like I ain't gonna lie, he wanted to be in Members Only. We were just on tour. It's all on Twitter. You can fucking look it up, whatever the case you want to do. But he wanted to be in Members Only at one point, and like we were just so busy. That like we didn't even see that shit until he passed away.
I think I was maybe one of the only people that was in the studio the night that Juice made that song about peeping X. I think that was the night that X died.
That's legends, right?
Yeah, and I pulled up to the studio and he was making that song, and you know, like he was really fucked up off X dying. Like it wasn't like just some rapper died. Like he was really in a state. Like he was fucked up over
it. Bro, his music impacted a lot of people's lives, bro. And like I don't know. But with Juice's music is different though, because like he raps about, you know, suffering against like addiction with drugs and like, you know, just a lot of relatable shit that I could relate on.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. His music is different.
The other day my girl was playing like some pop Spotify playlist or some shit, and all of a sudden I realized that I was listening to like some weird pop cover of Sad. And I'm like, whoa.
Pop cover?
It was, I don't know, some pop star artist or whatever, and I'm like listening to it thinking it's a normal song, and then I realize it's the lyrics to Sad, and I'm like, oh wow, like that's kind of crazy to think that, like, you know, like
yeah,
our homies' songs are like being covered and treated like they're fucking Christmas songs or some shit, like they might never go away. Yeah. People are gonna be performing these songs, like
that's dope,
that's bugged that's
dope.
Out,
that's dope.
Oh man,
that's
crazy, right?
That's dope,
yeah,
that's some dope shit.
Okay, so when do you think you're dropping this project?
I don't have a date yet,
uh-huh.
But I've been releasing a lot of snippets out that I currently archived. I'll be posting more shit soon.
I noticed that your Instagram's got nothing on it.
And nothing on it.
No.
Nothing on it. I like to, I don't know.
Very rare.
Very rare indeed.
Very, very rare.
But no, I just wanted to be mysterious. Mm. And like I wanted to like take time off social media as well. And like what I'm really focusing on when it comes to, and I just like went through this like 2 weeks ago when I first landed to LA just to see everybody and shit and like clear my mind, but from now on I'm basically just focusing when it comes to my social media, my music. I'm focusing on mental health and people that's really going through shit in life, that like I want them to feel that they're not alone, you know what I'm saying, because it sucks, bro, like having depression, having anxiety, and having like personal problems that other people think are bad and getting judged for it, bro, that shit sucks.
Compare your mental health right now to when you were on the Revenge tour. How do you feel? Like, do you feel like you're like way better equipped to face the world every day than you were when you were younger back then?
Yeah. Like, I've gained a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, bro. Everybody has their ups and downs and shit. And like, my current state right now, like, I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be in this position because it could be worse. But I don't know, bro. I be in my head a lot. And like, I don't know.
I feel it. Well, I'm looking forward to the new project.
Me too.
Gotta see that shit.
Me too. As a matter of fact, I got your number. I'll just send it to you.
I need that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Exclusive.
Anything else you want to say to the people out there?
Yes, of course. So one, I have my brother Bass Antenna in the building with his, you know, artist, Scarlet's Blade. And I would like to, you know, introduce them to the world real quick.
Hey, oh, okay.
Y'all, yeah, can y'all come to the camera real quick?
She's
an
artist. I did not know that.
I'm glad. Yeah, she's an artist.
Oh, okay. And he coming through in the Balenciaga sock shoes.
Yeah, she got the Balenciaga sock shoes. Got the big ones.
She got some boots.
So look.
Right,
come take the mic.
Yeah, I don't like tell him. Hit this.
I'm straight.
Tell all him. Types of shit. We got Scarlett and her blade over here coming to you from like 2021 until like the rest of forever. You feel me?
Yeah, come on, talk your shit, Scarlett. Your shit, what you got to say?
I ain't got no shit to talk, bitch. I'm high and drunk. But hey, hello.
She's shy, but she going. She about to go up, though.
What happened when you bring your drunk friends on the podcast?
Bro? He went out and found himself an artist. Look at that. That's
a good
move. I ain't
going to lie. On the CEO shit. Big CEO shit. But shout out to everybody back in the East. Shout out to Rich Fetty, and P. Fetty, Streets Fetty. Shout out to the whole Fetty, man. My dog, San 1K. My dog, C-Trick.
Good ass interview. I like
this was
that.
A great interview. Yeah. Nah, this was a great interview.
I appreciate
interview.
You talking to, like, just talking to us two, like talking to OG members.
For sure.
Is this a different perspective?
But we had Keys on here the other day.
Oh, yeah. He's funny.
Rare.
He's rare. Yeah. Shout out to Keys.
Yo, I just.
His funny ass. His fried ass.
Dog Keys, man. Keys about to take everybody by surprise.
Yo, I just thought of a really good question that I could ask you, and I'm not
What's
even,
up?
I'm not going to get super specific.
Nah, get super specific, man, because this is what we do in the coolest podcast.
Thoughts on X's Instagram account going live after his passing? Should that ever happen again?
That happened?
You don't remember that?
That happened?
Oh, I guess we could talk about that off camera, but yeah.
I never knew that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
It gets technical.
That was kind of...
Saw some blog posts
like
about
it. It was surprising.
Yeah.
Kind of. I was asleep.
Seems like a strange move, but yeah. Hey, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Kid Trunks, throw you in the trunk.
Adam 22, put you in the snooze. Drinking water.
With some juice.
With some juice. Don't do drugs.
And some foos.
And some foos. That's it, man. You know, it's your boy Kid Trunks coming from Bragg County 954. And yeah, you dig.
Appreciate you, man. Kid Trunks, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, dog.
Bow.